Hindu or from the New Age kind of movement, they'll say, oh, listen, I just want you to be open to this experience. You know, I just want you to be open to this experience, to Christians. And if they're open, that ends up hurting them. It ends up leading them away because they say, oh, here's some other truth. And so there's these bad spiritual things that lead astray, and we need to be careful. Well, how do we know the good from the bad? How do we know which one is the bad, and how do we know which one is good? Well, that's why we have a test here, and this is in verse 3. So looking at verse 3, it says this. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Except by the Holy Spirit. So remember that the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus, and that's all that the Holy Spirit is about. He just does exactly what Jesus tells him, okay? He is 100% behind Jesus and 100% about making Jesus known. And so if somebody then is getting up and they are saying something like, Jesus is bad, Jesus isn't what you want, they can't be led by the Holy Spirit, okay? Because the root of the Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. And said, so that is not the Holy Spirit speaking there, and that is not a good spiritual situation. Jim Jones. Everybody remember the Jamestown Massacre? You guys know what that is? Down in Brazil, where 900 people were convinced to commit suicide. Well, some of them were not convinced, and they were killed anyway. Okay, before that happened, Jim Jones was just a Christian preacher. Okay, he was supposed to be a Christian preacher. He was in San Francisco. He had a big, huge church there. And people really enjoyed listening to him. And he was quite spiritual. You can go and look it up. And he would regularly get up and he would regularly say, the Bible is garbage and Jesus is no one. Not the Holy Spirit. Spirituality, not the Holy Spirit. So this is a litmus test for us. And there's a principle behind this. If the net effect of your spiritual encounter is either neutral to Jesus or negative, then it's not something you want anything to do with. It may look religious, but if it leaves you neutral towards Jesus, you say this is not good or bad, or if it's not positive, it's not from the Holy Spirit. I receive regularly, people will say, hey, Tim, I heard this message from a prophet. Okay. I heard this message from a prophet. Okay, what do you got? And then they'll share the prophet, and they'll share the prophet's words, and the prophet's, I see a day, I see a future day, right? And he'll start talking about things, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and this is, you know, because I'm a prophet, I'll tell you what's going to happen. And I look at that, and I don't see Jesus' name anywhere on the thing. And I don't even see the gospel anywhere on it. And this is not from the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is why we're having an interesting, this is going to be a fun message, right? That's not from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to listen to that prophet. You shouldn't listen to that prophet unless they speak Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me? Yeah? Now, the opposite principle is true. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Spirit. By the way, it doesn't mean we can't just say Jesus is Lord and not mean it. It's talking about saying Jesus is Lord and believing with all your heart Jesus is Lord, right? It's the intent of our heart as well. And so what glorifies Jesus is from the Spirit. What glorifies, anytime you see something that is glorifying the good message of Jesus' death for us and the message that we can be free from sin and we can join him for eternity simply through trusting him, that is from the Spirit. The Spirit is underneath that, speaking to our hearts until it comes out. And it is glorious. And that's the purpose, by the way. And so then we think about the general principle is this: what spreads the good news and what makes Jesus known, that is the Holy Spirit working. And those are what the spiritual gifts are all about. Getting that message out, building people up in it. And so this is a very important principle about spiritual gifts and building up Christ. The other day, we were down in Wayland Garden City, and we're walking along, and I hear this Christian song. Which one was it? Oh, I can't remember now. Now that I put myself on the spot, I won't remember at all. But somebody's playing guitar, and they're playing a Christian song out in the open air. I mean, I'm like, are we in England? This is so strange, you know? Anyway, I noticed nobody's singing along. Nobody's happy. You know, none of the churchgoers are like, okay, I'll sing along. I was like, okay, what's going on? And then I saw somebody's spiritual gift, okay? And they had the spiritual gift of screaming. They got up after this song, and they said, you're all going to hell, as loud as they could. They just screamed it. And I was walking towards the music, and I literally just kind of turned and walked away. I couldn't bear it. It was so terrible. That's not from the Holy Spirit, right? Because it doesn't really honor Jesus as Lord. It really doesn't honor making the gospel known in a way that actually is going to lead people to receive it. If it builds up Christ, it's from the Spirit of God. If it doesn't, it's definitely not. Now, let's see. It says here that if anyone says Jesus is Lord and they really mean it, okay, so let's try it. You who believe, if you feel comfortable. Jesus is? All right, now I have some interesting questions about this. So now it says here that the Spirit of God is the one who brings up in our heart to say that and to mean it, yeah? So what has just happened is that the Holy Spirit has done something inside of you. Isn't that right? Did you feel different? Did anyone here feel just strangely different as they said Jesus is Lord? Or did we all just say it and not think about it? I said it and didn't think about it. And this tells us something about spiritual gifts. We imagine that spiritual gifts are going to create a lot of emotion in us, and sometimes they do. But you don't have to have emotion for the Spirit to be working, do you? He's going to work regardless, and sometimes you have no idea that he's doing what he's doing. So that's an important other thing to think about. Okay, we walk by faith after Jesus, and the Spirit produces the gifts naturally. Second point, every spiritual gift comes from and is made by the Spirit. It is not made by us. Verse 4. That's what it says. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God working or at work. At work. Okay, so actually, the first thing to note is that we have the Trinity here. I don't know if this is very cool. If you look down, it says that there's one Spirit, and then it says there's one Lord, and then there it says there's one God. And so we have the one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. The one Lord, that's Jesus. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the one God, that's the way the New Testament speaks about the Father. Okay, the Father is God. And so we have the Trinity working together. But what we're saying is that all gifts go back to the same source, the triune God. It all goes back to him. Even if they're divergent, even if there's lots of different gifts out there, it all goes back to the same location. It's like a prism, yeah? It's one beam of light, and yet it splits into all those different beautiful colors and facets. And so the spiritual gifts are this gift from God that are meant to bless and to serve us. And let's just focus on that word gift there. This is a gift, meaning you didn't earn it, but it's not a gift, meaning you should just waste it and do with it what you want. It's an investment. It's an investment. It's a gift to accomplish a goal. My dad... when I was about 16 years old, he went and bought a guitar, a very nice guitar, and he gave me the gift of the guitar. But what he didn't do, he wasn't saying, here is a guitar, son, and I'm just, go ahead and just wail on it as long as you like and just do that for the rest of your life with this thing. He was meaning, you know, you need to learn to practice on this and to take lessons and to play some music and to get better and better and better. It was a gift, but it was an investment. And so God is giving these gifts, but it's specifically for the kingdom work. Your spiritual gift is to bless others. Always. Every gift is to bless and further the kingdom. Every gift is to bless and further the kingdom. And so, actually, if you're not using your spiritual gift, that means that we aren't getting blessed. And we aren't getting built up. And you aren't doing what you're supposed to do. Okay, a third thing. It says here, it's primarily God's work here. It's not ours. We go along for the ride. We're the puppets, but he pulls the strings. Glass blowing. I love seeing glass. It's a great thing to see glass blowers. And there are places you can go and you can see them working. And here's what happens. They take this junk piece of glass, essentially. It's just a glob of glass. And they attach it to this long pipe. And they throw it in the kiln. And then they bring it out. And then the artist blows into it and moves it and blows into it and moves it and shapes it. And out comes this beautiful and glorious and wonderful work of art. This is what God does with us. And this is what he does with spiritual gifts. We are the glass. And God is the one blowing out the beautiful masterpiece. He is crafting in us this beautiful set of things that will be used for his own glory and for the kingdom's work. Number four, we need this diversity of gifts here in this section. Everyone's been here to Tate Modern? No? No? Yes? Tate Modern? Okay, lovely place. Some of the works in Tate are all of one cloth, as it were. And what I mean is that you have an oil painting, and the only thing on the oil painting is oil paint. And you got an area for photography, and you don't have anything except for photos there. But other pieces, other masterpieces, they have just a variety of things in one piece of art. And so they have wood and paint and metal and tools and all sorts of things that have been just put together into this amazing masterpiece of all these different things. And that is us, and that is our spiritual gifts. We're very different from each other. Everyone knows that they're different from me, okay? You're all different, and you're all important, and your spiritual gifts are not all the same because God is not making something boring. He's making something beautiful and interesting and exactly what is needed. Exactly what is needed. Suppose you want to fix a car. You know, you got a problem with the engine. You're not going to need one tool to fix that problem. If you have your Allen wrench, you got nothing. Okay, there'll be one part that uses the Allen wrench. But there's one part that uses the screwdriver. There's one part that uses this and that and the other thing. You actually have a whole host of tools that you need. And these are our spiritual gifts. And God needs them all because it takes all of those spiritual gifts to win someone into the kingdom. And they're all needed. Now, this leads to humility. And this is the important thing about spiritual gifts. What happens with spiritual gifts, and the reason that Paul is even talking to it, is that people were getting very arrogant. Ah, these gifts. I've got the best one. Your gifts are stupid. Okay? Your gifts are nobody. Can someone serve me because I've got the good gifts? And let me tell you, oh man, your gift means nothing in comparison to mine. And you know, that is just really against everything here. The gift isn't yours by any inherent nature within you. It's a gift. And what you've been given so that you may serve and build up others, not so that you may say, I'm better than you. And there is no gift that is better than anybody else's gift. Well, there is one, but that one that is better than all the rest, we actually going to see it next week, and we all have it. It's the gift of prophecy, and you're wondering. Okay, so we'll look at that next week. But we need humility with these things. Sometimes, you know, people say, oh, you know, I don't do anything really for the Lord. It's just I meet up regularly with people and I go and I take them out to lunch and I ask them how they're doing and then I tell them that the Lord loves them. That's a gift. That's a really important gift. People come to church because of gifts like that. They don't come to church because I gave a great message. Okay, you have a better gift than I do in some sense. They're all needed. They're all important. We walk by faith after Jesus and the Spirit produces the gifts naturally in us. Now, because God is the author and the power behind our spiritual gifts, it is his movement and not our own movement, we don't have to understand these gifts completely. We just go with the flow of what the Spirit is doing. Okay, this is kind of a really important point, okay? And this is our last little section. And before we read the verses, I want to give out an idea. So has everyone seen a Bond movie in here? Y'all have seen Bond movies, yeah? Okay, so in the Bond movie, there's always the first scene after, you know, after he like almost dies and falls down a cliff, then he's back at the headquarters. And they're like bringing out all the different cool new tools for him to play with, you know? So they bring out this is a pin, but actually it blows up half the world. Oh, okay. This is a, you know, whatever, paper, but this paper is transmitting a message to us or something. And then by the end of the show, the movie, he uses all the tools he's been given, right? He uses all the tools, and it's cool to see how he's going to use the tools. This is why you'll watch the whole thing, apparently. Anyway, but here's the point. Like, okay, we've been given these special tools, these special spiritual gifts, but God doesn't explain them at all. He just says, you'll know how to use them when you get there. That's what he does. You'll know how to use it when you get there. Okay, with that in mind, let's read verses 7 through 11. It says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them to each one just as he determines. I just want you to hear, this is all from the Spirit. It is his work. It is not our work. He does the work in us. And that means that he's the one who knows how to use the gift. And he knows how to make us successful in using the gift. Now, this list in front of us, let me tell you, it is bewildering to scholars. Why is it bewildering? Well, you know, there are people who take this list and they try to make a bunch of categories of spiritual gifts, and then they say, let's just take a test and we'll figure out where you belong. But there's not enough here to do that. This is the only place that he mentions these spiritual gifts, except for one. And he doesn't really explain them out. He just says, well, here's one gift, here's another one. And without any explanation. So for instance, it says that there's words of knowledge or words of wisdom. I mean, what's the difference, Paul? We don't know. We have no idea what the difference is. Nobody knows. No, there is no scholar who knows the difference. We're at a loss to explain what gift this is. What does it mean that you have the gift of faith when we're all supposed to have faith? I'm so confused here, Paul. He doesn't explain. There's three lists of spiritual gifts. We read them all today. We read all of the spiritual gifts. Do you know which one is in common across that? Just one. The gift of prophecy. Other than that, they don't overlap at all. There's no overlap. Goodness, this is not going well at all. I mean, it's like he doesn't even care to explain out these gifts. And that's right. He doesn't care. Paul isn't interested in explaining them out. And why? The answer is we don't need an explanation. The Spirit of God will do it in us. We just go along. That's why. We don't need to make a huge deal of this list. We just need to be responsive to the Spirit of God. All right, now let me illustrate this with two situations that both come out of my life. Okay? I had a friend pastor who I worked under before I became a pastor. And he was fired maliciously by somebody else in the administration. And I knew it was malicious, and all the people on the inside, they knew it was malicious. But anyway, when he said this to us, I'm going because such and such does not want me here. The weirdest thing happened. I burst into tears, and I just could not stop weeping. This doesn't really happen to me. I couldn't stop weeping, and I threw my arms around him, and I said, no, this is not fair. And I was sobbing, you know, really sobbing. I've not really cried like that ever. I'm not one for a good sob, guys. This was a spiritual gift that God just pressed out of me at the moment. He's like, someone needs to comfort him. I got that man Prisman, go for it. Okay, he put it in me, and there it came. And you know, someone might say, hey, Tim, maybe you got the spiritual gift of comfort and compassion. Yeah, well, maybe I do, I don't know. It's okay. Follow the Spirit. He'll use you like that. Maybe you have that gift. Maybe you don't. But you see, he'll use it. You'll see it again. Follow Jesus. Submit to the Spirit. These things come out of you. It'll be okay. A while back, I was preaching at someone else's church. And at the end of that time, I was introduced to someone. And this is important to say. This almost never happens, okay? So nobody worry about this, you know. But as I was talking to them, I just became aware that there was kind of this issue inside of them. And I knew it was a significant thing. And so after this thing I just suddenly felt and saw, I went and spoke to the pastor and I said, you know, such and such, I think there might be an issue here. And the pastor turns around and he says to me, he goes, is that a word of knowledge? Okay, that's in our spiritual gifts here in this section, a word of knowledge. So he was asking if I had the gift of the word of knowledge. And I go, I guess, I don't know. I mean, like, I hadn't even thought of it in that term before. And that's okay. Actually, during the course of my life, 3 or 4 times, God has just made me aware of something. And I didn't ask for it. Because he can do that, you see. If you're surrendered to him, he's allowed to just do whatever he wants in your heart and to bring those things out. And so the punchline is you don't actually have to understand this list almost at all. You just have to surrender to the Lord and he will use you in powerful ways. He will use you in powerful ways and we'll get to see it. And then maybe over time, you'll know that you have a special gift. Maybe you will. Or maybe you won't, but it doesn't really even matter. We walk by faith after Jesus, and the Spirit produces these gifts naturally in us. Now we understand what I mean by naturally. It happens as we surrender. So the punchline to this sermon, don't let what you don't know about spiritual gifts bother you. Just submit to Jesus as much as you can and do something. And see what God does. And see what God does. See, what I'm telling you is, don't worry about this list. Say, I want to do something for Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I'm going to live every day for Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus every day. You will have something, I promise you. I promise you. Don't let it go and say, because I don't know what my gifts are, I'll do nothing. That's the mistake. Let's pray. So God, I pray and I ask now that you would encourage us in our hearts that we have something to contribute to your kingdom and that you have given us real spiritual gifts, every single person. And I pray that no one in this room who is a believer in you, Lord, no one at all would dare to imagine that they have no purpose and nothing to do for you. But you have called each one of us to take up our cross and follow you. And that we need each other. We need each other to accomplish the mission that you've set before us. I pray that your Spirit would be moving. I pray that you would be whispering your love in our ears, and we would say the very thing that we should say, which is, I surrender. Do your will in me. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand as we prepare for communion.